Hearing the yum there from Maria Pearson. She's joining us here with Yoga. They're part of the Dubai Business Breakfast Group on LinkedIn, and they meet fortnightly and have discussions. And last week, their discussion was on the power of diversity in the workplace and leading to better success. Now, Maria brings with her over around 20 years. She's been here in the UAE with her company, Grow.me. It's a learning and development consultancy, helping you understand and build skills to increase the effectiveness of people and organisations. So a great person to have on this topic. And also Yoga brings with him, I think 21 years you've been living here in the UAE, Yoga, and you're chartered accountant and owner director of the company Mid East Outsourcing, and also the organiser of the business group on LinkedIn. So continuing our conversation on diversity in the workplace, and we were talking there before about age and gender being things to consider, as well as culture. And you wanted to come back on the points, Maria.
The point was raised just before the break about family companies, and that the younger generation are expected to come in and, you know, carry on, and there is conflict between the older generation and the younger generation about how things move forward. One of the things about culture is that how we display it is in the decisions that we make and the actions that we take. Time and how, where do we go to get the information to make decisions? Do we go back and look at our traditional ways of doing things, or do we look forward to where we want to be and where we want to go? And this is one of the conundrums for particularly people in this region. They want to maintain their traditional heritage.
That's
they want
right.
to maintain those family structures and the relationships. Relationships, I think, is critical to actually being effective in this region. Relationships aren't just for now in the last 10 years. Relationships go back for generations. And how do these young people that are taking over organizations manage those relationships and move organizations forward? Mm. It is a challenge.
Suzanne, go ahead.
I was just a quick one. We were talking before about technology, and if you're looking at, and you were saying, Yoga, in the meeting, that a lot came up about age and understanding the different generations in business and with technology. So, you know, a culture which is a younger culture that looks at the BlackBerry, at the smartphone, to communicate every few minutes, every few seconds, and maybe not so much about eye to eye, one on one, face to face kind of meeting and discussion and relationship building. And so that's an interesting one if you're looking at the whole idea of what relationship building means.
One of the interesting things that has come out from a lot of the research about what are the value drivers for the new generation that's coming through, they are particularly values driven and they're very relationship driven. But the way that they develop their relationships is different in that they look out, as you were mentioning before about, you know, your children, is that they talk frequently to, you know, people in other parts of the world, and they've got a common language.
It's not limited by proximity. So it's changed in that you may be further, but I'm still developing and establishing relationships and nurturing and growing these relationships. So it doesn't have to be next to me.
I'm valuing them just as much as the person next to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But one of the critical things with these young people, they want to be responsible for something. They want to, you know, this is mine and I'm going to do it. And they work at that, but when they ask for feedback, they expect instant feedback, like an email, straight there, I need an answer. So if you've got a slow decision-making process, or it takes a long time to get an appointment with their manager to talk about something, they get very, very impatient, and they do come across as impatient. But actually what they're wanting, am I doing the right thing? Am I on track? And what they're looking for from their managers is more of a coaching and a mentoring approach rather than directing and you do it like this. They want to use their creativity, but they also want input and feedback.
And it's so interesting that because we can't have good old traditional, you know, disputes or arguments anymore, because as soon as you start talking about something and there's a disagreement, someone will say, wait a minute, I'll just Google this and we'll get the answer. You know, no need to get worked up. And it gets diffused really quickly, but the sort of wrestling that goes on with that, it's spontaneous, isn't it? It's impulsive. It's information is at the tip of our fingertips. But if you think about it, the workplace in terms of age is so diverse. So it spans four generations. We've got people who are born before the 1950s, the traditionalists. We've got the baby boomers who are between around 1950s to 1964. Then we've got the Generation Xers, which are born around 1965 to the early 80s. And then the millennials, as Maria is talking about, the 1982 to the year 2000. So we're working side by side for the first time with these different people from different generations. And I tell you, there are some people from the traditionalist group that are better at using computers than I am. So in some cases, certainly they are doing very well, but in other cases, the value systems and the differences between them can cause issues. Yeah.
Text message here with regards to language, saying, as an Arabic speaker from Sudan, you may be surprised that I've suffered with Arabic more than English. Some Arabic accents dominate, while others, you know, we have to speak with their accents, so it's difficult. So English, we resort to English. It's a very interesting point, and it makes me think, you know, when we're talking about the younger generation, or we're looking at, in this instance, language, and even within the Middle Eastern culture, but of course there are so many different cultures within that, that there are can be barriers, or it can be tricky. And it kind of I know the Middle East is known for the tribal heritage, but actually, aren't we all quite tribal, really? We all start to think, what I know, where I come from, what I believe is right, and the others are not. And I wonder if there's some tribes or cultures that are able to assimilate into other tribes or cultures easier than other cases. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. We are social beings. Above everything, our situations and our social structures dominate who we are and how we feel. And then aside from that, or in relation to that, we are more drawn to individuals who are like us, as we refer to as the like me bias. So, and it's not because you're trying to discriminate or to be racist. If you really understand the psychological roots of it, it's because it is what we are more familiar with.
It's comfortable.
It's comfortable. It's what we understand. And once you make the effort to understand the other, then you avoid these biases and ethnocentric thinking, and you're able to take off the cultural lens is to see more clearly.
I have worked around the wider Middle East for a long, long time, and it always amazes me the variances in the Arabic language. And it's been explained to me that it's the story behind the actual words that are used, that in this region they're highly contextual, that there are stories behind everything. And if you don't know that story, then you might hear the words, but what you think they mean and what they truly mean, you're totally, totally missing the point of a conversation. And it's only through building relationships, and as you mentioned earlier, clarifying, and rather than putting the label of right and wrong, of actually listening and just accepting, it's just a difference. That you're actually truly be able to get to that point that you get meaning, that you get understanding.
And these differences that you're talking about exist also between Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, and Al Ain. They have specific words with the UAE dialect that varies from place to place. It's nice to see them, you know, when they sit and they have banter amongst each other, teasing each other. Oh, you say this like this.
But isn't that the same, you know, Yoga, if you're from India, for me, from the United Kingdom, there are regions and districts, different dialects, different accents, different religions and cultures within your culture. And so that you have, and I guess what you have to be careful of within that is stereotyping. I mean, there's some, you know, you can have a bit of fun with it, you may have a bias, but you need to check yourself, I think, a little bit on that too.
Yeah, you do. And stereotypes help us to make sense of the world around us, but they shouldn't then imprison you or hinder you from having a functional relationship with those individuals. So even jokes that have a cultural basis, you got to be careful, you know, make sure is it appropriate so that you don't offend anyone. But definitely the influences that have gone into creating these variables, language is very much part of culture. And to be able to understand the culture of a location, learning that language allows you multiple layers of understanding, because humor is tied in there, metaphors is tied in there, stories are woven in, lots and lots of different areas.
One here from Fadia saying, what about the third culture kids? How do they fit into the workplace here? Good point. We're talking about age, but actually understanding for those young people growing up here and staying here and making their careers here, how does that work? And lots also an interesting one. Next generation will be Generation 50 Shades. Interesting.